on the air.
All right, great.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you're on the couch. Welcome. This is the place where you get insight about yourself, and hopefully take away some what I call gems that will make you feel better, or at least give you some cool psychological tools to think about. Let me ask you guys some questions, as I always do, you know, things to think about before we get into the special topic we're discussing today. What makes you guys happy in your life? How can you learn to chill out? You know, I always talk about helping you chill out, managing your stress. You know, how can our belief systems or spirituality help us do life better? We're going to do life, right? And I've talked about these things for the past 5 years here on LA Talk Radio. I've interviewed a lot of experts, you know, motivational speakers, celebrities, and they all share their journeys and lessons that they learn about how to have a better life. And we also talk about how so many of us are desperate for a quick fix. Well, that's what it's all about, especially today, to make us feel better so we can cling to, you know, our beliefs or whatever spiritual teachings. There's nothing wrong with that, you know. But sometimes, as I've said before, we have to come face-to-face with ourselves. The process can be painful. I mean, come on. You know, it's those moments of understanding who we are and what we're doing here. Or if we're meant to do something here. We meant to do something here. Well, my special guest today is going to help you answer some of these questions. A lot of the answers are based on her experiences, wisdom, and expert on various spiritual teachings or belief systems. And Betsy Chassie has come out with a new book, and we're going to be talking about that as well. Betsy, welcome to the show. So nice to have you here.
Thank you so much. Those are great questions.
Oh, cool. Well, I'm glad. Well, I loved your book.
Thank you.
No, really. Good stuff. It's terrific. By the way, I just want to, you know, introduce you to the audience here. You know Betsy Chassie. She's the award-winning co-producer of the multi-million dollar grossing film What the Bleep Do We Know? Great film, Betsy. Good work. Good
work. Thank you.
Work.
What the bleep do we know?
Hell, I have no idea. Today we're going to be talking a bit about the film. And also your upcoming movie, but I really want to focus on your latest book. And what a cool title as well, Betsy. Tipping Sacred... it's called Tipping Sacred Cows. That's hysterical. The uplifting story of spilt milk and finding your own spiritual path in a hectic world. So it's great to have you here. And you know what I really loved about it is the way you kind of incorporate psychological and insightful wisdom into the framework of, you know, some of our spiritual belief systems that we kind of hang on to, huh? Well, you just hang on to those things.
But we are humans are pack rats, right?
Yep. We certainly are. So can you, let's just get started here. Let me invite folks to call in, by the way. If you want to call and ask Betsy Chassie a question, about anything, her book or whatever, you can do so live here on the air. We're in Los Angeles, 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. 1-800-875-1515. Or if you're shy, you don't want to get your voice on the air, that's cool too. You can email us directly right here into the studio, and I'll read your question to Betsy. Doc Michelle, D-O-C Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. Okay, guys? So let's just jump into it here, Betsy. And can you share some of the experiences that you had in your life, you know? And, of course, being the co-creator behind What the Bleep Do We Know, that led you to writing your book, which, again, is called Tipping Sacred Cows.
Yeah, well, that's a big question. I mean, you know, we all have big moments and epiphanies in our lives, and they come to us in all sorts of different forms and fashions. Yeah. You know, I had an epiphany right before I turned 30, which led me to making What the Bleep Do We Know. And then I spent a good 10 years running around thinking that I had it all figured out because I made What the Bleep, so therefore I should understand all of it and have it all answered, and now it's like done. Like, now I'm done.
Right.
Now
right,
I can
right.
just, you know, be. Yeah. Because I've got it all answered.
Sure.
And what usually happens to us when we become cocky like that is, like, you know, something's about to go down. You know, something will remind us that the truth is we really don't know anything, and it just is a swift kick in the butt or the tipping of a cow, that cow being me. And so, you know, 10 years went by, and I realized that, you know, everything I thought I knew about myself, about what it meant to live a meaningful spiritual life, and about reality wasn't true.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, needed to do some cow tipping in order to figure out what I actually wanted to believe, what was really true, what I needed to and wanted to change in my life to have the life that I deserve.
Yeah.
And so I went on the journey, and in that journey I ended up, you know, we all have our ways of expression, and I think everybody is an artist in their own way.
Right.
Some people are an artist in plumbing, some people are an artist in, you know, accounting, and I'm write and create movies. And so this was my way of sharing my experience. I feel like we've sort of moved beyond the phase where there's somebody standing on a stage telling you how to do everything. I personally feel like I have more of an enlightened experience just sitting with my friend, listening to them talk about their stories and their life and how they've experienced things and what they've learned from that. And so that's kind of what this book is for me.
That's cool. I like it how, you know, I guess as transparent, or, you know, you just keep it real for folks about how you feel in your experiences, and you're funny too. So, you know, it's really, you're hysterical. It's a great read. And I think a lot of people can really identify with, you know, you and your feelings and just putting it out there. And, you know, so many people also can identify with, and I'm just going to give them a taste because I don't want to, they need to pick up your book, about a lot of the, you know, problems with relationships and, you know, being bullied and having low self-esteem, and the honesty about just, you know, we are humans and we all have emotion, and you just kind of keep it real there, which is cool. So,
well, I think that's really where I'm at.
Yeah.
I just want to be real.
Yeah.
It gets really I finally think I woke up and got really tired of trying to live this story I had told myself and to live all the roles that I was trying to put myself into. And, it just gets really exhausting. And then ultimately what happens is that eventually, you know, you might be really good at doing that for a while, but eventually it falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
The story falls apart.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to, for me, I just said, God, I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to be me.
Yeah, I hear you. I absolutely. So we're talking about tipping sacred cows right now here on LA Talk Radio, the country's most listened to internet talk radio station. And Betsy Chassie is the author of this great new book, and it's really a great story of what she calls spilt milk and finding your own spiritual path in a hectic world. What are some of the reasons why we create these sacred cows or the belief systems in our lives?
Well, you know, listen, we are belief machines. You know, that's how our brain works. Our brain likes to have data that it can call upon to help us experience life. And what happens is, you know, as we start out as young children, we start to collect beliefs.
Yep.
Beliefs about ourselves, how we look, you know, are we smart? Are we funny? Are we tall? Are we short? Are we lovable? How to get love, how to be loved, how to love. And we start to collect all these belief systems, and then we just essentially store them away in our brain, and eventually we just live them, and we kind of go on autopilot, and we don't really stop for a moment to observe each experience as something new that we want to contemplate, we just run the program. And that's ultimately what happens in our lives, is that you begin to wake up and look around you and you start to realize, wow, I don't believe that I'm worthy of love. So I have a relationship in which I don't feel loved in. I don't believe that I'm smart, so I don't have a job that shows that I'm really smart. I won't go after the career or the thing because I don't believe in myself. And so we put ourselves in these positions, and then we just kind of get stuck there. And, you know, for a lot of us, we go about our lives for years and years and years, and it's so entrenched that we even lose sight of the fact that we have these beliefs.
Yeah.
They just become part of who we are.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're so deeply buried that we don't know how to get out of it, you know?
Right, right. And, you know, a lot of what you talk about, too, is which is really cool and scientific, which I really try to help people with on a daily basis. And it was also featured in your film that you co-produced, What the Bleep Do We Know. It's about building those neural patterns. And it's like learning, you know, it's all about repetition and rehearsal. And the more we believe these things, the more ingrained they are. And they're just there, man. It's really hard to get rid of. So like you said, they're just, it's hard to get out of our own. Yeah. Go ahead, Betsy.
For me, one of the things that I really decided in terms of spirituality is that, you know, a lot of what happens when you decide to be spiritual is that you want to get out of the body. You want to get away from you know, you want to go into the esoteric and meditate and leave the body and leave this reality and levitate or whatever. And, you know, for me, I finally realized that what I need to do is learn how to live in this body, which means that it's important for me to understand how it actually works. And, you know, neuroscience can tell you how it works. It's no mystery anymore, how the brain works. I mean, there's parts of the brain that are maybe a mystery, but for the most part, it's pretty clear. You have an experience, you have an emotional response. That emotional response is attached to a chemical called a peptide in your body.
Yep.
It releases, you have that response, and then your brain categorizes it away.
Yeah.
The key for me now, and this is nothing new, I mean, Dr. Joe Dispenza has a great book about this too called Breaking the Habit of Being Me, which is amazing.
He's cool.
You know, you really just have to interrupt that pattern. You really just have to stop and say, oh, I don't have to be angry at this moment, at this person. Why do I want to feel angry? What is it that's making me angry? And can I clean that up? And then are there other options that I can choose from how to respond?
Yeah.
And it's really the whole thing is just becoming in charge of your brain. And then once you get in charge of your brain and you can really be aware of what you're doing, then you can start doing all sorts of cool and creative things. And it takes practice. I mean, I fail at that like 100 times a day. You know, I'll catch myself in the middle of some automatic response and be like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But we just don't want it takes a lot of practice and it takes a lot of work, and we'd rather just be right in our belief systems because that's easy.
Well, I agree. You know, it's so true. And we I guess it's kind of called survival, you know, Betsy, sometimes, but it's really easy to just hang on to that stuff. By the way, if you just tuned in here, you're on LA Talk Radio, the country's most listened to internet talk radio station. This is Dr. Michelle, and you're on the couch with me and my special guest today, Betsy Chassie. She's the author of a brand new book. It's terrific, guys. Got to pick it up. For me, and I, you know, guys, where I'm coming from, it's really psychologically insightful. It will help you take a look at yourself. And Betsy kind of works through her own process of how she, what do I call it? Kind of it took a look into her own life and got real and truthful about her feelings and just allowed herself to feel those feelings and figure a lot of stuff out. And of course, Betsy, you're a lot more involved and have been in the so-called spiritual movement because of your co-producing What the Bleep Do We Know. You had to investigate and learn and study, and you've studied so many different aspects of the spiritual experience. So it's cool. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I think for me, I studied a lot of this stuff because for a long time, it just was something I could repeat.
Yeah.
You know, without really truly integrating. And I felt like there was a lot of concepts that were being presented, but they were being presented in a really impractical way, like concepts like the law of attraction. You know, think about it and a Mercedes will come popping out of your ass. You know, think about
right.
Make a vision board and, you know, everything will be great.
Right.
And what I realized was that for me, that was only part of the solution. The other part of the solution is asking myself, why do I want the Mercedes? Mm. Why am I creating this vision board? Why do I need these things? And then facing and answering those questions, and then really asking myself the hard questions, you know, and sitting around with my dark side for a little while, and not being afraid to say to myself, wow, you know, you are sad, or you are this emotion. You know, we have this tendency to not want to feel these days. You know, there's a pill to make it so you don't have to feel your emotions. And if we don't do the work and we don't process the emotion, we can make whatever vision board you want, and it's just not going to come true.
God, well put. And, you know, throughout your book, Tipping Sacred Cows, you talk about all, like I said, the different little sacred cows or belief systems that we have. And you just kind of touch on different subjects, like enlightenment, for instance. So maybe what's your take on the different theories of, which I love reading about, the different theories on enlightenment.
It's such a cool word. Yeah. And it's like, it's sort of being held up as like the pinnacle of all being. It's like, people make it out of like, once you're enlightened, like you're going to ascend and you're going to explode over the sky like a firework display.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone's running around trying to seek enlightenment. And enlightenment is really, what it really means is to know yourself, or to know who you are, in the terms of to be enlightened.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's funny because I just really, in my last few years of my life, just stopped seeking enlightenment. You know, I stopped seeking happiness because essentially I can know who I am at any moment. I just have to ask myself and be honest with the answer. And that's really what it means to be enlightenment. I don't have to, you know, do, you know, 18 hours of yoga. I don't have to meditate. I don't have to do this practice or that practice or follow this guru or that guru, all of which anybody can do, and that's great. But ultimately, in the end, you are the only one that's going to be able to answer the question, who am I?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And when you can know yourself, you're enlightened.
It's a very private thing, you know. A lot of folks, you know, out there are, and you know, it's kind of an ego boost, you know, self-esteem thing. It's like, I'm enlightened. Or, you know, everybody wants to talk about their experiences, which is cool, but it really is a private thing. You have to go within yourself and just, not to be religious or anything, but have your own come to Jesus moment, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, enlightenment for me, first of all, I would never say that I was enlightened, you know, because I just don't even though I put a very funny whole explanation of how the history of the word and where it came from, you know, essentially, I'm just not interested in trying to reach some pinnacle of perfection that somehow I'm going to be enlightened and be happy all the time and be walking around in bliss and be able to manifest gold coins from my hand and walk through walls. It's just, you know, for me, I'm just good with being good and just knowing how to be good, you know?
Yeah. And even being bad. I mean, rolling through the icky stuff is pretty cool,
well, the cool
too.
Thing is that
Go ahead.
I mean, I think, for me, you know, I think we live long enough. Maybe it's something about we get a little older and we look back on our lives and we think of all the moments where we said, this is the worst day of my life. And then, you know, we're still standing here. You know, we're still alive. I'm still here. You know, things have happened to me. They were horrible. And I'm still here. So when you, I think you kind of get, for me, I really just realized, like, you know, things are going to suck sometimes. That's life. You know, life is not meant to be happy and perfect every moment of the day. You're here to experience it. You're here to, this is why you're on this plane. You know, we don't want to, it's like, I don't want to play a video game, you know, you got to go through the levels. And so if you think of it like this, this is the level that we're on. My job is to master this, you know, avatar that I've been given, to use it, to have as much experience as I possibly can, so that, you know, when I'm done with the body, I can look back and say, wow, I really lived to the best of my ability. And that's really why I'm here.
Well said. You know, and it is. It's all about our personal experiences. You know, and I really agree with you that one of the cool things about quantum physics, and, you know, that was featured a lot in your film, What the Bleep Do We Know, that, you know, there is a probability for everything. I mean, that's the theory, the quantum theory. And that was, it's really awesome. So can we really change reality? Can we?
Well, here's the thing. You know, there's a lot of back and forth in science about whether or not we're really creating the chair that we're sitting on.
Yeah.
you know, and they've done all sorts of experiments. And the truth is that to some degree, a very small, almost immeasurable degree, the answer science will tell you is yes.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, what's really happening to you, because all you can do is explain your experience.
Yeah.
You can have an experience about the chair.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're really doing is you're creating your perception of the chair.
Yeah.
You're not really creating the chair. You're attaching the meaning to the chair. You attach meaning to everything. Mm-hmm. I think people get this backwards a lot because they'll say, oh, you know, I brought this person in my life, or they came into my life, or gee, I got stuck in traffic because the universe is trying to make it so that I won't get into a car accident later.
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff is really coming from you. There is no universe. There is no divine vending machine in the sky dropping things in front of you because somehow they've got a plan for you.
Hmm.
It's all coming from you. You attach the meaning.
Hmm.
So in terms of the everything being probable, anything that you want to experience and your perception of it is completely probable because it's all coming from you. Just it's unlimited based on your imagination.
Wow. And, you know, that's all we have. That's all we have. I mean, we can hear other people and we can try to identify and have empathy with, and, you know, and that's where we, you know, kind of connect with other folks, is how, you know, fascinated we are with them or close we are to them. But I mean, you're right. I mean, it's all our consciousness and what's going on. You know, which leads me to the concept of law of attraction. Those are one of the cows that you kind of tip on a little bit. And it's really a cool concept. And it basically says that like attracts like, or to quote some of the other folks out there, your vibration attracts like vibrations. So what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I think that sounds really great,
yeah.
Right? And,
yeah.
And scientifically, it's kind of true. But the thing that's interesting about the law of attraction is that if like really attracts like, and you're faking it, meaning you're doing your positive affirmations every morning, and you've
right.
got your vision board up, and
yeah.
you're looking at it every day and smiling, the minute you walk away from that vision board, the minute you stop saying your affirmations and something occurs that really is what you truly believe, all that just went out the window.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can, like I said, you can meditate till the cows come home on, you know, your vision board. But if you don't believe with every ounce of your being that everything on that vision board is true and real, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part about doing the work.
Yes.
Like, the work isn't making the vision board.
Yeah.
The work really is knowing really what should go on that vision board and asking yourself, why do I want this?
Mm-hmm. Well put, Betsy. You're here on LA Talk Radio and on the couch with Dr. Michelle. That's me. And my special guest today is Betsy Chassie. She's the author of her latest book. It's called Tipping Sacred Cows. She's also the award-winning co-producer of the multimillion-dollar grossing film What the Bleep Do We Know? And, of course, she has an amazing – I love your blogs. Awesome stuff.
Oh, thank you.
They're really good.
Thank you.
And we're going to tell people how
thank
to
you.
– you know, oh, you're welcome, how to get in touch with you and get a hold of your book in just a little bit. But, you know, Betsy's a speaker just out there in social media and just really is out there to help folks kind of make sense of what's going on in the world and not debunk What the Bleep Do We Know, because, after all, you were the co-producer there. But – you know, there's a lot of things in there that you kind of rethought about and are presenting in your book, Tipping Sacred Cows.
Well, yeah. It's not that anything in the bleep was wrong. It's
yeah.
just that, you know, humans have this desire. And I'm just guilty of this. You know, we like, for instance, in the idea of the concept of quantum physics. I mean, everybody wants to make that a religion, a philosophy, an ideology. You know, quantum physics is the study of the nature of reality.
Yeah.
It's a science.
Yep.
It's not a reason to stop taking your meds and think you can walk through walls.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's really, you know, you're not going to be able to escape a bad date by suddenly realizing that the wall is empty space and you can walk through it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to ask you, what you should be doing is, why are you on the bad date in the first place? You know,
right.
I think we just have to really start doing the work around ourselves
right.
and why we do the stuff that we do, as
yeah.
opposed to thinking that, you know, somehow the quantum physics is going to make us happy and magically make it so that we can, you know, appear and disappear out of universes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And it's so true. You know, one of the most common things I hear with patients is, I self-sabotaged. You know, they look at themselves, they go, I blew that one up. I really screwed that one up. But it's sort of in keeping with your honesty in the book and opening up about your experience, you know, where you describe you had and have and always can have so many things that you wanted to create in your life. I mean, you are a multi-manifester girl, but you describe in your book that you got cocky at a certain point and that you lost a lot of what you had created. And can you talk a little bit more about that? I mean, what do you mean you got cocky? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, after The Bleep came out, I certainly enjoyed being paraded around the world and flown to fun locations to talk about what it meant to be happy as if I was some sort of expert. Mm-hmm. And that was fun. You know, it's nice to be treated like you're special. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah.
But what I finally realized was that I didn't really know how to be happy, and I wasn't really the person that people should be asking. And, yeah, I made a movie about it, and I could happily recite to you all sorts of cool quantumisms and, you know, fun sayings about what it means to be spiritual and all sorts of stuff, but I hadn't really incorporated it into my life. So the cocky part was because I had the data, I thought I got it. The truth was, I had the data, but I hadn't really integrated into my own experience of how to make it work in my life.
Yeah.
In me, individually. Mm-hmm. How does it work? How do these things really work for me?
Yeah.
Not how do they work when I read them in a book and then can repeat them verbatim.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's how I got cocky, was that I think, oh, I'm the girl. I'm the Bleep girl. I got this.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just took a moment of realization that I was just completely full of shit and to stop and go, okay, you know what? I really need to stop here and ask myself some serious questions about what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the thing is, like, we go through phases in our life. And so, I mean, I'm so grateful for the time that I, after The Bleep and all those experiences. And they were wonderful. But, you know, I think life is a journey. I hate that saying because it's so cliche, but it's absolutely true.
Is.
There's going to be times when things are going to be really, you're going to feel good and everything's going to be working. And then there's going to be a time when it's like, oh, this isn't working anymore. And I think just to be willing at those moments when stuff stops working is to step back and go, oh, okay, I need to do some cleaning up. I need to chip some cows here and figure out what I'm creating, why I'm doing the life that I'm doing. And is it the life that I want?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And your book, Tipping Sacred Cows, is, you know, you really take a look at a lot of those belief systems and how you work through. And you talk about doing the work. Can you share some of that with our listeners who are so into getting psychological, you know, advice sometimes? And how can I sort of do my work? What did you experience, Betsy?
Well, I think doing the work means being willing to ask yourself the hard questions and then give yourself the honest answer.
Yeah.
You know, to be really willing to stop and say, you know, how am I being right now, and is how I'm being actually serving me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I being stubborn in my belief system about being right so much so that I'm damaging the relationship with the person I'm in?
Wow.
You know,
yeah.
Do I have to, you know, like, you know, oftentimes I find myself now these days just asking the question, like, in the light of all eternity, is this worth it?
Yeah.
You know, it's just
good
because
one.
It's so often there's not. I was sitting with a friend recently listening to them talk to their husband, and I heard this tone and this whole situation go by with just the most smallest amount of words, where she completely berated him.
Yeah.
I mean, it was all done in fun and games, and it was all, but really, that's what she was saying. And as I watched her do that, I was like, God, I totally did that to my ex-husband. I was totally, you know, holding on to so much resentment that I was constantly digging at him. And he was doing his thing, too.
Sure.
And now in my life, I look at that and go, well, you know, what if I'm really upset about something, instead of playing the passive-aggressive game
there
or keeping it inside of me, I just communicate it.
Yes.
Well, and before I communicate it, I go, all right, what's the gain here by having this argument?
Yes.
Is it really worth it?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
It's not, I know, totally. I mean, we really have to look at a lot of time, you know, is this a contest? No. What are healthy relationships? It's a, you know, it's not, well, I know more than you, or I can one-up you, or I can be passive-aggressive, or, you know, and that's right. You nailed it. Betsy. It's the key is just to keep it real and honestly be able to share what you feel, not blast somebody, but, you know, almost you talk about the observer, of course, in your book. I you know, you're kind of seeing what's going on here with this other person, and you just want to find out what's really happening and be vulnerable and kind of get rid of those egos we have and all that good stuff you talk about.
Well, and I just have to disagree with one thing that you said, because okay. This is a big thing in spirituality, and I talk about this in my book. It's this idea that we have to get rid of our ego. Like,
yeah.
You know, listen, here's the thing. We have an ego. It's a part of who we are.
Sure.
If you get rid of the ego, in my opinion, you're a zombie, okay? And you're not, that's also not being real.
Mm-hmm.
The trick to me is that I have to constantly be aware of my thoughts and my emotions about those thoughts.
Yes.
So that I can direct my ego in the right direction.
Yep.
Otherwise, my ego is just going to... Your ego is here to do what you want.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, we love to blame the ego, because then it separates. Then we don't have the response. Oh, it's my ego. It's not my responsibility.
Yeah.
Well, it is your responsibility.
Yes.
So, you know, it's not that you want to kill the ego. It's just like your arm. You need to learn how to operate your arm so that you can, you know, use your hand and pick up stuff.
Yes.
The same thing with your ego.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with the brain. You have to learn how to operate the tools properly. Mm-hmm. I sucked for a long time at operating the tools.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm getting better,
mm-hmm.
but I'm
mm-hmm.
certainly, you know, not perfect at it, but that's where I'm at with it. It's like,
yeah.
I just want to learn how to operate the machine properly,
yeah.
and then I can maybe succeed a little better at it.
Yeah. I agree. And, it, you know, I think my version, not to defend, my, but I am, I guess. But my version of the ego is, you know, because I'm dealing with many times personality disorder. So what pops into my mind is narcissism, you know,
well,
histrionic borderline.
To some degree.
Yeah.
I mean,
we
listen,
are.
We, you know, especially Americans. I mean, I'm an American.
Oh, yeah.
We're all narcissistic to
yeah.
some degree.
Well, it's called survival,
people,
too. Yeah.
Yeah, some people take it over the top and they can't see, but what but the thing is, even within narcissism, you know, if they were to stop for a minute and honestly observe their behaviors and be truthful about it, they would see the same thing.
Yep.
And they would then turn around and be able to get their ego in check, because they would realize, like, oh, my behavior is submersive or vindictive or controlling, and I'm doing that mostly out of fear, because everything that we do, especially those behaviors, is because we're afraid.
Yeah.
And so if you just stop and go, wow, what am I afraid of? I'm afraid of not being loved.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I not being afraid of not being loved?
Yeah.
That's what I mean by doing the work.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And that's wonderful. By the way, in case you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, this is Dr. Michelle, and I got my special guest here, Betsy Chassie, on the couch. She's the award-winning co-producer of the film, you know, What the Bleep Do We Know? And, of course, she's authored a brand new book. It's terrific. And it's called Tipping Sacred Cows, the uplifting story of spilt milk and finding your own spiritual path in a hectic world. And we're just talking about Betsy's journey and what she discovered about just living a true kind of healthy, happy life, a journey, the journey she took. Very candid, honest, funny as heck as well. You know, Betsy, in your process too of finding the truth about yourself, more about you and what's going on, you talk about finding compassion for ourselves. And that is really, I find, what I hear and personally as well. It's tough. You know, we always beat ourselves up for what we should have been or could have been, and we've been bullied, and we have all these messages, you know, built in. How can we find compassion for ourselves?
Well, it's super hard, and I'm constantly working on that one, because, you know, we've bombarded with this system in which we feel we need to get it right and be perfect, and then we want everybody else to get it right and be perfect. And the truth is, none of us are getting it right, and none of us are perfect. So, once I realized that, and just realized, like, look, everything, you know, the experience that I'm having today is not going to be the experience I'm having tomorrow, and I'm only having this experience because I'm choosing this experience. And if I'd like another one, I can choose another one. You just kind of give yourself a break. You know, you're going to screw it up.
Like,
you know, I'm going to be an asshole to somebody today. And the only thing I say to myself is, try not to be an asshole intentionally. And, you know, that's what I try not to do. But the other thing is that, you know, when someone's being an asshole to me, I'm really trying to look at them and say, wow, I could totally be pissed off at this person and angry at them. Or I could realize that they're running their program.
Yeah.
They're they're just as screwed up as I am.
Yes.
And so in doing that, I find compassion for them and I find compassion for myself. And it's like, okay, I'm going to take a step back here and give them a break and give me a break and see if we can have, I mean, I feel so much like we never actually have real conversations with anybody because I'm telling you everything that I'm saying, you're hearing through your filter and your belief system, and everything you're saying, I'm hearing through my filter and my belief system.
Yeah,
both of which are completely different. And so now these days, oftentimes somebody will say something to me and I'll might get offended or hurt. So what I do is I go, wow, when you said that, this was my experience of it. Was that what you meant?
Mm.
And most of the time they go, no, that's not what I meant at all.
right.
And you find that like, you're not even actually hearing anything. So at that point, you just got to remember, like, okay, I have this crazy program I've got going on in my head. I need to step back from it. And in doing that, you find compassion for yourself. You realize, I know why I believe that I'm not worthy of love.
Yeah.
Okay, I acted in that situation from the belief system that I'm not worthy in love, and it didn't work out, and then my belief system got proven right. Okay, I'm going to forget, I get that I'm doing that. I'm going to have compassion for that, and I'm going to try to do it differently next time.
Yeah. God, that's well put. Really helpful, too. And, you know, in keeping with that on your chapter about forgiveness and anger, you know, and you talk about having compassion for ourselves, and, you know, that's like the beginning of, and then we can try to have compassion for others and why they are jerks or hurtful or have come into our lives, right? And maybe forgive them or something.
Yeah, I mean, in my book, I mean, I have this thing about forgiveness because I think it just, it's sort of like so much of the things that we have in our world, it's sort of become this catch-all phrase.
Yeah.
You know, you should forgive or you won't be happy. You should forgive and your life will be perfect. You should forgive everyone.
Yeah.
And the truth is that you don't really have to forgive anyone.
Right.
So forgiveness does not equal happiness.
Mm.
You know, what you don't want to do is walk around every day of your life being pissed off and letting that person or thing that upset you define your life.
Right.
That's just lame. You're only hurting yourself.
Yeah.
But, you know, if someone's a jerk to you and they've done something that's hurt you, you don't have to forgive them. You can just move on.
Yes.
You know, that's the thing. I mean, people, sometimes it's a little bit of the semantics of it all, you know.
Yeah, because,
Like, for instance, in my book, I talk about my divorce, you know, and the fact that I, you know, for a long time, I did not forgive my ex-husband.
Yeah.
And I was constantly being told by everybody, you have to forgive him, otherwise you won't be happy. So then you try to play forgive.
Right.
You try to pretend forgive. You make the vision board about forgiveness, right?
Yeah.
And essentially, you're not really forgiving. You're just pretending at it.
Yeah.
And you actually do more harm to yourself because then you start building resentment and you feel bad about yourself because you know deep inside,
right.
I have not forgiven. I'm putting on a show. And you do more harm.
Right.
I'm much happier to say, you know, at this point in my time, I have not forgiven that person and I'm cool with that. Anyway, let's go have a beer. You know, like,
exactly.
That's where you have to come to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally. And then maybe, you know, take that knowledge with, like, what was it, you know, about this person who attracted me to this person? And what are some of the cues I was missing that this person might potentially hurt me? Or, you know, and you just kind of get it that way and learn from that stuff. And I agree with you.
Right.
I mean, it's, you know, go ahead, Bets. Go ahead.
I mean, eventually, I did forgive my ex-husband.
Good for you.
It didn't, and it really didn't. And ultimately, what I found is that it just didn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, it just didn't matter anymore. You
know,
whether forgiveness or not, forgiveness. It was just like, it didn't matter, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, maybe the only thing that mattered was when you thought about him, you got PO'd, and then you got your stress levels up and your cortisol, and, you know, and it was like, wait a minute, I got to take care of me. I'm getting really amped up about this guy again. And, you know, it's not worth it to me and my body. So,
and you know, you have to, but see, part of that comes from also, at least for me, is processing.
Yeah.
You know, we're really a generation, we're really a species that's just afraid to process.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's hard.
It is hard.
And we don't want to let go. And it's we get stuck in our past and we get stuck repeating the same story. She did, he did, my mother did this to me.
Yep.
You know, I've really come to the place of like, well, these are the things that occurred in my life.
Yeah.
These are the lessons I got from them. Now, what am I going to do?
Exactly.
And just not worrying about the past.
Right. I totally agree with you. And I think that's great teachings for folks. You know, we can, I have folks who live in the past. Literally, all they talk about is the past and their harmful stuff. It's like, okay, let's get over the psychodynamic stuff. And what are you going to do today, you know, to feel better? What are you doing right now? You know, move on. Acknowledge it, feel it, let it out, cry, you know, suffer, do all you need to do, and then just kind of, it'll always be there, I think, but kind of move on to what did you learn and just go forward, you know?
What? I have this game in the back of my book called My Life Sucks.
It's cool.
Which which is sort of a step-by-step way in which to truly process. Because, you know, it just hangs out in your gut until you truly process it. So, you know, I think for me, it was really being willing to stand up and say all the things that everyone was going to judge me about. Say the things that I was feeling in my head, even if they were bad or wrong. You know, it's like, you know how when you have a thought, like, oh, I really wish that person's car would wreck, or I wish they'd, say it.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking it, and then you can work through it. You can go, okay, why do I have this emotion? What's it really about?
Yeah.
But see, we don't even want to say these things because we're so afraid of ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, did I just think that? Really?
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, you really did think it. Now let's figure out why you thought it so we can move on from it. Otherwise, you're just going to keep thinking it for the rest of the week, the month, the year of your life.
Okay.
You know, that's really what it is.
Yeah.
Get clean it up and move on.
Yeah, that is really helpful, too. And it's in the back of the book, folks, so you can't skim through this. You got to read the whole thing, Tipping Sacred Cows, to really learn a lot of lessons and sort of get with it. And you know your step one, you go James Brown, Honest Betsy, My Life Sucks. Say it loud and say it proud.
I do.
It's cool.
Well, I feel like, and the other thing, when you do the exercise, you don't get to write it down, because when we write things down, we edit them. You have to record yourself.
Oh yeah.
And give yourself some space to just say everything that pops into your head. It's like total free association.
Yeah.
And then you want to, the next step is to blame everyone, because we do. Like, even if we pretend to the rest of our friends, I'm taking responsibility, we're blaming everybody.
Yeah.
It's what we do inside.
Sure.
You know, it's really about, the whole process is really about spending time with the stuff that you don't want anyone to see or hear.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, that is the, you know, getting it real with yourself and acknowledging, step four is acknowledging your failure. Yeah, you failed. We all do. Come on now. You know, that's right.
And it's such, for me, it's great to be able to go, wow, I totally failed at that.
Yeah.
And everyone runs around and, don't call yourself a failure. You're being too hard on yourself. And I'm like, no, I failed.
Yeah.
I'm totally okay with the fact that I failed.
It's all
now
good.
Now I can deal with why I failed and I can move on, as opposed to trying to spin it in such a way that I don't have to actually take responsibility for what happened.
Yeah.
And then I never deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the biggie is we tend to, you know, beat ourselves up for that. That's why we kind of don't want to admit that we just failed. So we go, because we're going to beat ourselves up. So step five is awareness, acceptance, and forgiveness. Woohoo. That's kind of tough
to get to.
But you help people get to forgiveness in your book. And that's that. No, it's true. And that's what's so important. Because we, you know, it's not called denial. It's just getting through the stuff and then moving on, folks, and being okay and continuing the journey. Pardon my
Well, it's sort of like you can have a really beautifully painted house.
Yes.
And you can spend all day long sitting outside your house looking at it. But the minute you open the door, it's a mess.
Yeah.
So you never let anybody into your house.
Yeah.
Because you don't want them to see the chaos that's going on inside your house.
Yeah.
For me, it's like, I just want to clean my whole house and actually do the work to clean it. Clean the toilets and, you know, all the sticky, nasty places that you don't want to look.
Yeah.
And then I'm cool with inviting people in.
Yeah. That's well put. I love that analogy. That's a good one. Betsy, how can folks get in touch with you, find out more about you? And also, you know, we got a hard break coming up here for CBS News, but I know you've got a new film coming out. Do you want to just kind of briefly touch on that a little bit?
Sure, a little bit. So the film, my website is betsychassie.net. Mm-hmm. And I'm in production on a new Bleep. It's about a year away. There's not much to say yet, except that we're making a new Bleep, and right now it's called What the Bleep Now What. And you know, I hope it'll be as well received as the first one.
I'm sure it will. It's great. And of course, you have your latest book here. We've been talking about Tipping Sacred Cows, the uplifting story of spilt milk and finding your own spiritual path in a hectic world. Guys, you should pick it up. It's really cool because it really explains a lot of stuff going on. And there's so many psychological concepts that I really appreciate you helping people with as well, Betsy.
Thank you.
Terrific read. And
thanks.
You're cool and funny, and I appreciate that. So,
thank you.
All right. Thanks for being on the show. And Looking forward to the film coming out as well. And, of course, everybody, the show will be up in the archives tomorrow for you to replay or, you know, download. And all the shows are here on iTunes podcast as well. So, all right, Betsy, take care and thanks again.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, guys. Yeah, and like I said, if you want more information, you can write me here at LA Talk Radio, docmichelle@AOL.com. That's Doc, D-O-C, Michelle, at AOL.com. You want to find out more about Betsy's book and the upcoming film, you can log on to our webpage here on LA Talk Radio, the country's most listened to internet talk station. Okay, it's my running music. I gotta go. Thanks for listening, everybody. As always, I appreciate it. And know that you got some help today. You really did. As I always do say, take good care of yourself first. You know, work it out, and then you'll be better for others. And that's the way it works in the world. Thanks for listening, guys. Coming up next week, a very special surprise guest. Has to do with kind of going inside and getting your act together again. Why do you keep having those destructive relationships? What are you doing? All right, we'll talk about that and more. Take good care. Bye-bye.